Blog Talk Radio.
Apologize for our late start today. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we are here and we are in full effect. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we have, of course, the line tonight. Praise God. We have none other than our own Bishop Mac Page will be coming forth, bringing a word from the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we call this segment Living on Purpose. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not living with a purpose. Praise God, hallelujah, but living on purpose. Praise God, hallelujah. We thank God tonight, hallelujah, amen. And we are going to, praise God, we're going to play our theme song for Saturday night, hallelujah, at least a portion of it on tonight. Praise God, hallelujah, by Kirk Franklin and Vance Allen, hallelujah, something about the name Jesus. after we hear that song, something about the name Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to cut it out somewhere in the middle, and it's going to be in the hands of our very own Bishop Mac Page. Praise God. For those of you that just tuned in, this is, hallelujah, praise God, Living on Purpose with Bishop Mac Page. I am your host tonight, Elder Andre Prevost Sr., and let's start off with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to thank you tonight. We want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together and congregate in your holy name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for you just being you, and that's God all by yourself. We praise you and we magnify your holy name, Lord. Come in a mighty way, do what you do, and be God all by yourself. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Once again, welcome to Living on Purpose. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank all of y'all for tuning in to CARE Broadcast Radio Network. I am your host tonight, Elder Andre Prio Sr. Praise God. Hallelujah. And of course, this is Saturday night. Hallelujah. We are Living on Purpose with Bishop Mac Page. Hallelujah. And immediately following, hallelujah, Kirk Franklin and Wes Allen, the very next voice that you will hear will be that of our own Bishop Mac Page. Praise God on tonight. Hallelujah.
We're living in a day and time. We're being politically correct. It's popular. Can we turn that around again? We're living in a day and time where everybody's saying the name of God, but nobody wants to say the name of Jesus. We don't want to offend the Muslims. We don't want to offend the Jews. We don't want to offend the Arabs. And so therefore we crucify him of flesh. But I want you to know that there will come a time when every Muslim, when every Buddhist, when every Jew will have to get down on their knees and have to confess that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So I want every blood-washed believer to not wait until then. And if you've ever gone through something, you know right here,
tell them
that there's something about the name.
Something, y'all.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name.
Something about the name Jesus.
It's the sweetest name.
Yeah. It is the sweetest name.
Sweetest name I know.
I know.
And I love that name.
Oh, how I love.
Is the sweetest name,
yeah.
That's right. Just take a minute and explain to him what you're really trying to say. What you're really trying to say.
Some people say I'm crazy, but
I can't explain.
I can't explain.
The power
that I feel
when you call his name.
When I call your name.
That fire.
That
is just like fire.
Where's it at?
Shut up in my bones. Holy Ghost.
When the Holy Ghost gets the movement, said he won't leave me alone.
Bring up with us, y'all. Bring up with us. Everybody.
Something about the name.
Something about the name.
It's the sweetest name, yeah.
It is the sweetest name.
Sweetest name I know. Wave at me if you love that name.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
It's the sweetest name, yeah.
It is the
sweetest. How sweet is it? I want you to tell Detroit for a minute. How sweet is it? Sweeter than honey.
That is sweeter than honey.
from the honeycomb.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When the Holy Ghost gets to moving,
this won't leave you alone.
Said he won't leave me alone.
Oh, no. Now tell every Muslim, every Jew, in the name of
at
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
What's going to happen someday?
Henry and me
have got to bow.
So tell them to wait. You don't have to wait till the fire comes.
What can they do?
You can clap your hands.
Right now.
Pray
right now. Right now.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, let me hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
Something about that
thing.
Something
about the name Jesus. It's the sweetest name, yeah.
It is the sweetest name.
Sweetest name I know.
Everybody lift your hands and worship with us.
And
come on.
Praise God tonight. Amen. This is Pastor Page, Care Church Incorporated. Thank y'all for listening tonight. We come to you tonight to give thanks to the Lord for all that he's done for us and continue to do. May God bless you and keep you in all that you do, and may his word be glorified. Amen. Amen. I just want to thank God tonight. Amen. Aren't you glad that you're not here by accident? You know, sometimes we look around and we look at our life and we try to consider, well, why am I here and what is my purpose for being here, and why do we have to die and why do we have to go through these things that we go through? But I'm here to say tonight that everything that you've gone through, it wasn't by accident. It was on purpose. Praise God. And that's what we have to realize, that everything we endure, it's not by an accident, but everything is on purpose. See, God has purpose in us. And because God has purpose in us, then everything we do is not by accident. Everything that happened to us is not by accident. Some of you may have been born in a difficult situation, but you might have thought and asked God, well, why was I born this way, God? Why did this have to happen to me? And but everything that you did, it was on purpose. God allowed everything. God allowed is on purpose. And we just got to come to a we got to come to a realization that we can understand that God has a purpose in us, and we were born with a purpose. Amen. Because we was born with a purpose, we was born to give God's glory. And if we're going to give God some glory, then God's glory is going to be seen through the things that we endure, through our struggles, through our problems, through our faults, and realizing that when we came here, God brought us here that way, and he intended for us to endure whatever things that we face, because that's what gives him glory. Your glory is not in your failure, but your glory is in your victory. See, God doesn't get glory out of failure. He gets glory out of victory. God uses your failure in order to glorify him yourself in your victory. Stop whining. Have to stop whining and crying about everything that we experience and everything that we go through, and realize whatever it is that happened to me, it happened on purpose. Because God wanted to use that which was evil and turn it around for some good. And when we can realize that whatever we've gone through, that God is going to use that for the good. And we got to stop whining and crying. We got to stop complaining about where we was born and how we was born and how it happened and what happened to me and what I went through and what I experienced. And we have to stop whining and crying about those things and realize that God is in charge. God put you in the book. He put you in his play. I call it a playbook, but it's a real book. But I call it that everything you are playing a part in God's kingdom. And we realize the part that we play, everybody has to play their part, and everybody has to go through what it is that God has them to go through, that because that is the way God wrote it down. You see, Jesus said it's written that but everything that he was going through was written of him. He said, check the law and the prophet, is written of me. And everything that God wrote about Jesus, he had to endure those things, and God had him to go through those things. But those things that he suffered and the things that you experienced, those things are not by accident, but those things are on purpose. So everybody tonight, you got to realize you're living on purpose. God intended for you to live. The day that he breathed the breath of life in you and said, live, you start living, and you was living according to his purpose at that time when God breathed on you and gave man life. Man started living God's purpose. He started living on purpose because God said to live, and when God tells something to live, it lives because God said for it to live. And whatever God has said about you, it happened because God had said it would happen. And so I just want to thank God tonight that I know I'm living on purpose. It's not by accident. I realize that the things that I go through and the things that you go through, I realize those things are not by accident. Sometimes I get to crying in the night, and I get to wondering about the things of God, and you get to a place in God, and you realize that you can't go any further. And when you realize you can't get any further without God taking you there, you feel like you kind of feel like you're left out. You kind of feel lonely. But I realize that God allows that purpose. Because we got to realize that we can't get any place in God until God brings us to a place of brokenness. You see, we realize that when I become broken before God and realize that I'm at a place that I got to have God, and when I realize I'm at a place that I have to have God, then I have to realize that I got to turn to God, because I realize God is the only one that can deliver me, that God is the only one that can bring me through this. You see, God said, when I get you to that place, you're at the right place, because you're not just at my head anymore. Now you're at my feet. You're seeking me because you realize you can't go any further. You can't do anything else. You can't get through this. You can't get over that. You can't go around that without coming through me. You see, that's why God brings us to that place, because he wants to bring us to a place of brokenness. A lot of us don't like to be broken because there's pain in brokenness. There's heartaches and brokenness. But we got to realize that that's where God, that's the way God intended for it to be. You thought it was just an accident, and you thought something just happened. But God said, no, I intended for it to be that way, because this is the way I brought my son. I brought my son through brokenness. You were delivered through brokenness. Because you can't get what's on the inside of you out of you without breaking it. Hallelujah. When I thought about the woman that came with the alabaster bottle, when she came to Jesus, she didn't just open the bottle and pour it on Jesus. When she came to Jesus, she looked at Jesus. She didn't look up in his face. She kept her head bowed down all while she was in the presence of Jesus, and she broke the alabaster bottle. And the reason the alabaster was broken is because once it's broken, you can't seal it up again. You can't put it back together again, because that's the way God wants you, in brokenness. Nobody likes to be brokenness. Everybody wants to go around and try to pretend that everything is humpty-dumpty and everything, they got it all together and everything is going all right. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. It was never supposed to be that way. It was never supposed to be that you're supposed to be, your joy and your shouting wasn't supposed to be because you wasn't having a problem. Your joy and your shouting was supposed to be because you had the presence of God in you, and we are the glory in the things of God. And this is why they said, well, whatever you're going through, I say God will bring you out. But you see, she had to break the alabaster bottle, because what was on the inside of the bottle, it had to be put in a good bottle. The kind of stuff it was made out, it was put in a bottle that once you put it in there, it kept its potency. The odor of the sweet smell would never be lost because of the bottle that it was put in. And we have to realize that Jesus said that what is on the inside of us, he said, the Holy Spirit that is in you, amen. He realized that the Spirit is in you, it's in an earthen vessel. And we realize that God has what he has in us, and he has it in a vessel, amen, that the only way he can get out of you what he has put in you, you have to come down to a place of brokenness. And so when she broke the bottle and she poured it at his feet, she didn't pour it on his head, she poured it at his feet, because that was the place that she should have been. That's the place where we should be, and that is the place that God is trying to bring you, to a place of brokenness where you, but when you get down to a place of brokenness, then that is the time we get at God's feet. And then we start seeking out God. We start searching God. We start looking for the things of God, because, you know, instead of being at his hand all the time, sometimes you got to be at God's feet. And if we never experienced anything, we would never fall down at God's feet. Now, I didn't realize that I had to go through all of that. I didn't realize that I had to experience all of those things, that you get to a place that you can't do for yourself, and you can't do what it is that you want to do, and the only alternative that you have is God. But God said, I got you in that place on purpose, because even now you're at a place where you're going to seek me. Now you're at a place where you're going to turn to me. Now you're at a place you're going to call on me, because now I'm bringing you to a place of brokenness, because I can't get out of you what I put in you until I get you to a place of brokenness. I can't get the oil out of you that I put in you until I break you in. And this is why, even when we look at Jesus on the cross, when they went to the cross with Jesus, and when they whipped him with the cat of nine tails, and every time they whipped him with the cat of nine tails, they whipped his flesh, and his flesh was being broken. Every time the whips hit his back, it was cutting his back. It was causing his flesh to be broken, because we have to realize that the veil, the Bible said, was his flesh. And because the veil was his flesh had to be broken, because the spirit that is in you can't get out until the flesh is broken. So God has to bring us down to a place of brokenness in the Lord. And nobody likes to be in a place, but in the place of brokenness, it doesn't feel good. It hurts sometimes, but pain brings change sometimes. You see, if there's no pain sometimes, because that's the way God speaks to us sometimes. God speaks to you when you're in your pain sometimes, because you can't hear God until you got some pain. people don't really call on God until they're in some pain sometime. And so we have to realize by faith, we got to realize that whatever is going on in my life, God is allowing it to be that way. And he's trying to bring you to a place of brokenness. It's almost like a whipping, amen, that he's giving you. But what he's trying to do, he's trying to break that flesh. He's trying to break the flesh over because what God has done, he has put it in an earthen vessel. And because he has put it in an earthen vessel, he has to bring you to the place of brokenness in your life, because no change come in your life until you are broken. Some of our circumstance that we get in, and we wonder why God allowed this to be there. Because most of the time, man won't change until he get to a place that he can't do anything about it. When you get to a place where you can't do anything about it, then that is the time you turn to God. And God wants us to turn to him, because God wants to raise us up, but he can't raise us up. He can't use us the way that he want to use us, because we haven't gotten to that place of brokenness yet, amen. You haven't gotten to a place, amen, that every time you think about the goodness of Jesus, then tears and things begin to flow, is because the reason for the tears is because God is bringing you to a place of brokenness, amen. And you got to have some brokenness in your life, because as long as we walk around in our pride, as long as we walking around humpty-dory and looking good every day and smelling good, as long as we are doing that, then we won't give God the praise that's due to his name, is because when everything is going all right in your life, nobody wants to serve God. Nobody wants to turn to God. But whenever God allows some circumstance to come in your life, that is the time when you call on God. Even the atheist, amen, yeah, he can say that he is an atheist all his life, but as soon as something happened in his life or something is getting ready to happen in his life, the first thing come out of his mouth, oh, Jesus. And so tonight I want you to know what you're going through is on purpose. To see, we just think that is something that's that happened, but God doesn't do anything that just happened. God already knows what he's doing. He already knows how to do it, and God already knows how to bring the change in your life, and God is trying to bring a change in your life, and that is why you're at that place right now. You're in that place. You're at home right now. You got tears in your eyes, and you got tears in your eyes because you feel broken, because you see what God said, that when you're not going his way, he puts a wall up. And when he puts his walls up, he put a wall up because the reason the wall is up is so that you can't get to the other side of where you're trying to go. The wall separates you from your sin, and so God has to put a wall up to stop you from being happy. You don't have no happiness. You don't have no joy. You don't have peace of mind right now. You're wondering why you don't have it, because you used to be able to get it in the club. You used to be able to get it when you drink. You used to be able to do it when you party. You used to be able to do it when you got high. You thought you was getting life. You thought you was getting joy. You thought you had it going on. But God had to bring you to a place where you realize that you need him. And all of us today, we need God. And you just got to come to realize that you need God. And God created you on purpose tonight. And that's what I just want to thank God, that I've been created on purpose, and I realize everything that I experienced is not something that just happened. We like to think about that it just happened, but nothing just happens with God. Everything God does, he does with purpose. You see, when when Jesus went to the cross, it was on purpose. And we have to realize that we are going to the cross also, because where life comes, life always comes, the life of God always comes after the death. That is why John said, I got to decrease so that he can increase. But as long as my life is going good, as long as I'm able to have joy and peace and all the things that I got going on in life, then I feel that I don't need God. But God brings you to a place where you have to realize that you need God. Amen. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 5. I'd like to read that tonight. Psalm 51 and verse 5. Because God just, I just want to let you know that where you are now, you're in the right place. If you're in a place of brokenness, if you look like you walled in, it look like you're in a box. If when you turn to the right or you turn to the left, you don't seem that you can find God. You look like you lost him. You don't know where he is. It look like he's not hearing your prayer. The more you call on him, they look like he's not answering. But he's got you in that place right now because he wants you to turn to him. Because you've been relying on yourself so long. You've been relying on your flesh so long. And realize that the flesh can't really bring you life. Amen. The flesh is what is bringing you death. But God has got to crack open your flesh. Amen. So that he can get out of you what he put in you. So he brings you to this place, and you got to realize that my life is on purpose tonight. It wasn't something that just happened. You might have been born a child of incest, and you think about you being born of incest. That's all right. God said, I can work with that, because God is not working with perfect things. God is working with broken things. All the people who think they got it together, God is not using those people. God is using the people who's born in problems, had problems, who went through something, who experienced something. Those are the people that God is using in this hour, those people who have had some experiences with God. Psalm 51, verse 5. Amen. Listen to David here. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So David said, I was shaped in iniquity, born. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But even though we was born that way, it don't mean we have to continue that way. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 6. Amen. I just want to talk about this tonight. For where you are, amen, where you are, or the way that you was born, don't mean that's where you belong. Hallelujah. 3 and 6, amen. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Amen. I just had for a thought tonight, amen. When I talk about we've been broken, that we're living on purpose. And when we're living on purpose, it means that we're living according to that which God wanted us to be. But because you're in a situation don't mean that you have to stay in it. See, God allowed you to get into that situation, but he never intended for you to stay in that situation. Amen. And just because you was born that way don't mean that you have to stay that way. You see, Israel was born in Egypt, and even though Israel was born in the people of Israel was born in Egypt, but it didn't mean that that was where they belonged. You was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but it didn't mean that was the way you were supposed to continue, that God wanted to bring you out of that which he had got you into, amen. And so where God always allowed us to get into something so he can get us out of something, so that we can have a testimony of God that God can bring you out of anything. There's no weapon formed against us shall prosper, because whatever it is that I get into, I know that God can bring me out. And that ought to be a testimony to everybody, to every saint, to every Christian, to everyone who's been through something, to everyone who has been broken, amen, to everyone, amen, who's had problems in their life, to everyone who has suffered something, for everyone who was born in bad circumstances. And just because you was born that way, God never, never, never intended for you to stay the way in which you was born. David looked at this situation here, and here David had messed up, and he went out and got Bathsheba. He did something that he wasn't supposed to do, and he hid it for a while, and now he's got a problem right now. But even though God allowed him to get in that problem, amen, God didn't intend for him to stay that way. And this is why David writes this psalm here, is because he got in a circumstance that he really didn't want to be in. he got into something that he realized that what he was into, it wasn't something that was pleasing God. It was only something that pleased himself for a few minutes. And when he had that few minutes of fame, amen, he enjoyed that few minutes of fame, but now he's in a place of brokenness. Now he realized what he has, what he did, and what he did was wrong. And when he realized what he did that was wrong, now he's bringing that his situation before God, because the situation that he's in, he realized that he don't have to stay here. He don't have to continue that way. And this is why he asked God to wash me and cleanse me and purge me with hyssop. He's asking God to cleanse him from that situation, because the situation that he got in, now he wants out. But but the good thing about it, when you realize that you've gotten into something that you can't get yourself out, you turn to God and ask God to bring you out of that situation so that God can set you on high. Because God allows those things to happen, because in those things that happen, because David was a worshiper of God, and David was a man who served God, and David was a man who wanted to please God, and yet he's got himself into a situation that he realized that this thing that I'm in is not pleasing God, and because it's not pleasing God, he now turns to God for God to restore him back to the place that he was in the beginning. You see, in everybody's life, wherever you was born, that ought to be something down. God has put something down on the inside of you to make you realize that where you are is not where you belong. See, there's a lot of us, we've gotten ourselves into situations. God allowed it. God allowed you to get on drugs. God allowed you to become addicted. God allowed all those things. But God, there ought to be some urge or something down on the inside of you to say, I want to get out of this situation that I'm in, because where I am, I realize I don't belong here. Because I don't belong here, I've got to turn to God, who can get me out of this thing that I've got myself into. There's a lot of things that we've gotten into. We got into them ourselves, but God allowed it. But even though we got into those things, God allowed you to get into those things, because God wants glory out of those things that you got into, because now you will become a testimony to somebody, because your mess will become your testimony. Your mess will become your message sometime. Your situation, amen, will become a testimony. If we realize that God allowed us to get into these things, and these things that he allowed was on purpose, then we can glorify God to realize now, because God has brought us out of those things, and say, God, I thank you, Lord, that you brought me out of this situation. You brought me out of the streets. You brought me out of drugs. You brought me out of prostitution. You brought me out of that stuff. And, Lord, I just come and I want to give you thanks and praise, because you brought me out of that stuff. I was down in the valley, but, Lord, you brought me out of the valley. But the thing about it, if God had never allowed you to go in the valley on purpose, you would never have been able to have a testimony that when I'm in the valley, the shadows of death, I feel no evil, because I know God is with me. He allowed me to get there, but I can tell you, honey, this is the day of my testimony. This is the day I want to tell you it was Jesus that brought me out of this situation. And I want you to give praise, and I want you to turn to a man that can do anything but fail, because God will never fail you. He will never forsake you. He'll never leave you. He's always with you to the end of the age. And even when you're in that situation, he brings you out. See, I realize that God is someone that brings you out of something, amen. He allows you to go in so he can bring you out. He allowed them to go down into Egypt, but he had already made a promise to Abraham that he was going to bring them out. And even though God let them experience some things, and even God let them live in a situation, and even God let things happen in their situation that they was in, you see, there was still the promise that even though I allowed you to be there, that's not where you belong. And what we have to come to realize that the day where I am now is not where I really belong. I realize something, there's more for me. There's another height. There's a deeper depth. There's another level. There's a place that I got to go higher than I am now. And God wants me to go higher than I am now. He wants me to go further than I've gone now. But he had to hold me up a little while. He had to put me in a place and hold me there for a little while that somewhere down in my life there would be some desire on the inside of me to want to come out of the situation that I'm in. And if you've gotten to that place tonight that you realize where you are now and you want to get out of that, say, I'm here tonight to tell you that Jesus is the answer to all things. That Jesus was sent down to bring you out. You see, even though Jesus came in the flesh, but that wasn't where he belonged. See, he came in the flesh to work his way back to heaven, amen. And you got to realize that God sent you down here in the flesh. And you realize that you're working your way back to where you came from. Because where you are now is not where you belong. And you, when you realize, if I know I'm here and I don't belong here, that means I need to change where I am, amen. That I got to do something about it. I can't just sit here all day. I can't just sit here all night and continue on and on and on in the same situation when I have a God in heaven that can bring me out. That there ought to be something down on the inside of you to want to change your situation, to change your circumstance, to change your surroundings. There ought to be something on the inside of you make you want to go higher than you are where you are now. There ought to be something in your life is always reaching for something, wanting to go higher. There should always be something inside of you with an upreach, because if you don't have no upreach, then we will never have any outreach. Just because I was born that way didn't mean that I had to continue the way. I think about the man that was born blind. And even though he was born blind, he was born that way. But even though we are all, because we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, we have some blindness on our eyes in some areas. It don't mean that I can't see with my natural, but I can't see with my spiritual. And this is why Jesus said we have to be born again so that we could be able to see the kingdom of God. But even though I was born blind, it don't mean that I have to stay blind. Even though I was born in this situation, it don't mean that I have to stay in this situation. Because when I realize that I have somebody that can help me up. And see, that's what we all are. We are supposed to be helpers one to the other. When my brother is down, I should be there to help him up, because I realize when he's down, that wasn't the way God wanted to be down. God allowed him to get in that situation, but I need to help my brother up, because I realize that when I help my brother up, I'm helping myself up. When I help my brother up, amen, I'm giving glory to God, because that was his purpose, amen. Because how we do one another is how God sees us. And see, our love is being shown toward God by how we treat one another, because he said, but by how you love one another, others will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. Because if I see somebody in a situation, I'm there to help them out of the situation. And then when we are doing that, we're expressing the love of God when we do that, because God saw us in the situation. And even though he saw us in that situation, he know that he didn't want us in that situation, because he didn't want you in that situation. He sent Jesus, amen, down to the earth, amen, to be born of a woman and to walk the walk of God and to talk the talk of God and to do the things of God, so that he can bring us out of the situation that we have gotten ourselves into, because God allowed Adam to get in that situation. But even though God was in that situation, God didn't want him to continue in that situation. This is why God put the flame and sores at the end of the garden, so that Adam couldn't go back in and partake of the tree of life. Because if Adam had partook of the tree of life while he was in that situation or in that sin, in circumstance, if God had allowed him to get back to the tree of life, he would have remained in that situation. And because God didn't want him to remain in that situation, he kept him away from the tree of life until he can get out of him what Adam had allowed to come in here. You see, sometimes God keeps us away from things Not because he don't want us to have it, but he don't want us to have it in the situation that we're in. He don't want you to have it in the circumstance that you're in. He wants you to get rid of the circumstance. He wants you to get rid of the problem before he can let you have what it is that belongs to you. If God allowed you to get in it, he's going to bring you out of it. Hallelujah. If God allowed me to get into this thing, he's going to take me through it. Because that's the kind of God he is. He's a God that brings you out. Amen. His arm is not short that it cannot save. Or he has not got power or might to deliver. And because God has these things, he know if he allows me to get in, you see, he know he has the ability to bring me out. You see, even though Jesus knew that he was going to die, but his faith was in that even though if I go down into the grave, even if I go down to the hell, I know that's not where I belong. And because I know if I don't belong there, I know God is going to bring me out of there. And so Jesus had faith to endure the cross and to lay down his life and shed his blood because he realized that wherever he was at that time, that wasn't what God wanted him. But when are we going to get to a place to be like Jesus, to have faith that whatever it is that God has allowed me to get into, that he's going to bring me out of it. Amen. The man that's born blind, Jesus said, the man didn't sin, neither did his parents sin. But for the glory of God, I'm going to heal him. Even though he was born that way, God allowed him to be born that way so that he can get some glory out of bringing them out of it. God allowed him to be born blind so that he can open his eyes so that he have a testimony that it was Jesus that opened up his eyes. And even when Jesus opened up his eyes and people began to torment him and people began to pick at him and ask him who healed him, you see, that gave that man a testimony that it was Jesus that healed his eyes. Well, Jesus couldn't have healed you because, you know, he's not a man of God. And the man had to say to him like this. He said, well, whether he was a man of God or not, but I know I once was blind and now I see. And you see, all the situations that you've been through in your life, that God brought you out of them. And every time you get an opportunity, you should be able to tell somebody who brought you out. Hallelujah. You ought to be able to tell somebody that God brought you out of the drugs habit. He brought you out of the club. He brought you out of selling drugs. He brought you out of trafficking. Out of all the things, he brought it out. And the reason God brought you out, he brought you out on purpose. It wasn't an accident. See, he was going to do it all the time. The only thing, God was looking for you to turn to him so that you could, so when you turn to him and ask him to deliver you from it, that's all he was waiting for. He allowed you to get into it, and all he was wanting for you to say, Lord, I've sinned. I ask you to forgive me. Bring me out of this situation because I have realized now I don't belong here where I am. See, when we can realize that where we are at the moment, it might be where you are, but you realize that it's not where God wants you to be. I know a lot of us, we've gotten saved and we feel with the Holy Ghost and we speak in tongues, but you still haven't arrived. You're still dealing with situations. You're still dealing with problems. And you're going to be dealing with problems and situations as long as you're in this flesh. Until God moves the flesh, what he put inside of you can't be revealed. Until we come to a place to realize that the flesh doesn't profit us anything, we're going to continue in that situation. Most people haven't came out of that situation because they don't have a upbringing. God is the God that sets on high, and because he's on high, but if nobody's reaching for him that on high, we remain below. But when we start reaching up to God and God puts his hand down to lift us up out of the situation, then God gives us a testimony. See, he allowed you to go through that on purpose. Because the blind man would have never been able to tell who it was that healed him if Jesus hadn't opened his eyes. You see, all your life is just a testimony. This is why they said we are living epistles being read of men. You see, your life is just like a book. People are reading you every day. They're reading how you act. They're reading what you do. They're reading what you say. When you're in a situation, they're reading how you handle it. They're reading you every day. And so you got to realize you are part of the book that's been written. And God put you in here to play his part. And then people would never see the part being played if you don't get into play. Yeah, I believe the man that played the Passion of Christ, that when he played the Passion of Christ, everything that he went through and everything he did, he had to play that part as though he was Christ. And so that everybody could, when they saw the movie, they can realize what it was that Jesus really went through and what really happened to him and how God brought him out of it. Part that we are playing in the book now is because God is allowing us to go through everything, and we are playing the part. And right now we're supposed to be playing the part of Jesus, that everything we do is supposed to be in the likeness to Jesus, that everything you say. Somebody had something out one year. They said they had this thing. When they got into a situation, they would ask the question, well, what would Jesus do in this? If I'm confronted by somebody, what would Jesus do? If somebody spat on me today, what would Jesus do? If somebody slandered me today, what would Jesus do? And they would ask themselves the question, and then they would try to determine what would Jesus do in that situation. Because they realize that, you see, when God allows you to be tempted, he allows you to be tempted to give you an opportunity to show that the God is in you. Because if you never get to those places, you never get to show. If there's never anything that goes on in your life, then what are you going to be able to show that you went through? You see, everything Jesus did was to show what it is that you have to go through. That's why he said, you're going to take up your cross and follow me. When he said, take up your cross and follow me, you see, every experience that he went through, he said, now, you're going to go through those same experience, but I want you to go through those experience just like I did. I had faith in my Father to believe that if I died, I would be raised up on the third day. I had faith in God that whatever happened to me, that God was going to take care of the situation. And you see, when you realize that's what you're supposed to be doing in life, and you realize that you're supposed to be giving God's glory because that is your purpose in life, then if you play your part, then you will give God glory because of the purpose that he allowed these things to come for. So what I'm going through now, said that it wasn't on accident, it's on purpose. I lost that job on purpose, and I'm not going to complain. The reason God allowed me to lose the job, because that wasn't what he wanted me to be. Hallelujah. The reason I lost that husband, because that wasn't really the man that God wanted me to have. The reason I lost that friend, because God really didn't want me to have that one as a friend. See, when you can realize that the things you've lost, it wasn't by accident, it was on purpose. Amen. And see, God gives a, I like to watch the Animal Channel, and I watched the Animal Channel, and I was watching the sea turtles the other night, and I watched our sea turtle. You see, I saw the sea turtle when she gets ready to lay her egg. She comes out of the water. She, from the place that she was, she goes, comes out of the water, she goes to the earth. And she lays her eggs in the earth. And then she covers them up. You see, where we came from, we came from heaven, but God put us in the earth because this is where he wants us to hatch at. He put us in this situation not so that we could stay there, but so that we could be raised there. He put Israel in Egypt not so they can stay there, but so that they could be raised there. And when the sea turtle lays her eggs in the sand, the turtle that lays the eggs goes back to the sea where she came from. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus came down to the earth and he planted some seeds here. And he planted his seeds in the earth. And then he went back where he came from. You see, when the sea turtle lay, when the eggs hatch in the earth, I don't know what you call them. I don't know what you call the little baby turtles. All I know how to call them a little baby turtle or whatever you call them. You see, they have to crack open the egg. You see, inside of the egg or the yolk of the egg is where the life is. But the only way the turtle can get out of the shell that has been put in, it's got to be broken. You see, where God put his spirit at, he put it inside the veil, which is your flesh. He put the seed inside the flesh. But the only way that the seed that is in the flesh can get out of the egg, it has to be broken. Can you see where we are in God here? That God said the shell has to be cracked. So that the little turtles can get out. And when the little turtles get out, they have to dig their way out of the earth. It takes turmoil. It takes some work for them to dig their way out of the earth, even though they was put in the shell in the earth. But when the shell is broken so that they can come out, so what was put in there, the life that was put in there can come out. So God said, I've got to break your shell. I put you into the earth. When I put you into the earth, I put my seed in you, and I put you in the earth. And even though I put you in the earth, you see, what is on the inside, you got to break out of the earth so that it can get back to where they came from. See, the first instinct of the little sea turtle when they get out is to go back to the place, to go back to the sea from where they knew they came from. The mother is not there to guide them. The mother is back, not there to take them back to the place they came from. But there's something on the inside of them. I call it an inkling, or there's a desire or something for them to go back where they came from. You see, we have to realize we came from God and we're going back to God, but it's always going to be struggle in life. There's going to be struggle in life for us to get back to the place where we came from. And so they have to take their little flippers and they have to flip their way all the way back to the sea, because when they get back to the sea, that is the place where they're going to thrive at. That is the place they're going to have life at. That is the place where they're going to experience life at. And you see, you got to realize the shell has got to be broken, and what's on the inside of you has to get out of you, because there's a desire on the inside of you is to go back to the place that you came from, because we have to realize that where we came from, we were spirit beings, and we came from the spirit, and we came from God, and there ought to be something on the inside of you that want to get out of the shell and get back to the place that God wants you to be. You see, you have to realize you just like a sea turtle, honey. Whatever you're going through, you see, God has allowed you to go through that, but he's going to cause you to continue to go through that until you break that shell. You see, when the shell is your flesh, and that's where all your pride is. You know, that church folk, we are prideful, you know what I mean? They walk in with their three-piece on and they suit, and they come in, especially the one that don't need anything. They come in, they don't even give God a praise. They come in, hallelujah, hallelujah. They don't think there's a need to praise God. And the reason they don't think there's a need to praise God, because they haven't been through nothing. So you can tell the one who's been through something. Hallelujah. You can tell the one who's had some trials in their life. You can tell the one who's had some struggles in their life. You can tell the one who's been through hell and back. You can tell those kind of people, because those are the people that is giving praise to God. Those are the people that got their hand laid up. Those are the people that give the praise every chance they get. They're going to holler out and give glory to God. You see, you can tell those who have had experiences in God, because Jesus said, those who have been through much will love me much. But the people who hasn't been anything there, the shell hasn't been broken yet. They still got everything closed in. They got everything closed up. They're just walking with their nose in the air. They're the one that's looking down on everybody else. They're the one that sees somebody needs something, they get on the other side of the road. They love everybody, though. They say they love everybody. But when a guy come around don't smell right, quite right, then we want to get on the other side of it. Have you ever thought about all the stink that you put in Jesus' life? Have you ever thought about all the stuff that you've done in your life that didn't smell good to God, didn't look good to God, and then you're going to put your nose up and look down on somebody else? Have you ever thought about the stuff that you're holding against somebody? What if God would hold all that stuff against you that you've done? And the reason you do it is because you haven't been broken yet. See, when a person's been broken, they realize who they are. They realize they're nothing but flesh. The people who have been broken, amen, they realize that if it had not been for God that was on my side, I would have perished a long time ago. The people who've been through something, they know where their help come from. But people who haven't experienced anything, they don't know where their help come from, because they don't need anything. They got everything going good. They got money in the bank and got clothes to wear and got the nice house and drive the Mercedes Benz. And you know, it ain't just rich people drive Mercedes anymore, amen. Everybody got one now. But they do that because they're trying to look good. They worried about the outside, you know. Everybody worried about the outside. They worry about how they dress and how they look. Want to make sure their toes ain't out. Want to make sure they don't have no short sleeves on. They don't want to they covered up. And they want to make sure ain't nothing showing and everything down to the knees. And they look good on the outside, but their inside is messed up. You see, God don't look at the outward appearance, but God is looking for the heart. And so the only way God can change that heart of yours, there has to be some brokenness. Those trials that come in your life, those trials come to break you. People that do something to you, God allows it trying to break you. He's trying to break that pride in you. He's trying to break that haughty spirit in you. He's trying to break you, because if he don't break you, amen, he can't get nothing in you until he breaks you. And then when he breaks you, then he can use you. But if you don't allow yourself to be broken and realize that I'm nothing but flesh, and God, I'm tired of this flesh, because I'm in this flesh, Lord, and I know you want me to be spirit, because where I am in the flesh is not where you want me to be, because I was born this way don't mean that I have to continue this way. And this is why Paul said that don't pay no attention to your flesh, but realize, pay attention to the things that are of God and not the things of the flesh. So where's the brokenness? Where's the godly sorrow that is in us? When are we going to come to the place to realize that everything happened, God is doing it on purpose, because he's trying to break you? You know, the woman with the alabaster bottle, she came in, the one that anointed Jesus, you know, she was a street woman. And if the street woman had came into the church and did that to Jesus in front of us, the first thing we had to say, oh, child, I know she didn't. How is it that a street woman can come in to the church and anoint Jesus' feet? See, one of the reasons Jesus allowed that to happen because he wanted to show you that it's not all the Miss Goody Two Shoe and Mr. Goody Two Shoe that can do something for him. It's the woman that you think about that ain't worth nothing and ain't no good to nobody. Those are the ones who's doing more for him. Those are the ones who loves him more. She showed her love toward him by being down at his feet, by pouring some expensive oil on his feet, by letting that be an aroma, by letting that be some praise. But the people who had everything, they did nothing for Jesus. See, because of where you are now is not where God wants you to be. This is why he's giving you opportunity to come out of that situation that you're in, to change your ways, to change your life, that your life might become like his life, that your ways might become his way, that your thoughts might become his thoughts. And then when our thoughts can become his thought and our ways can become his way, then that is the time when we are going to give glory to God. But we have to realize that the shell got to be broken because the little turtle couldn't get out until the shell broke, and he couldn't work his way through the earth to get out of the earth back into the place that he knew he belonged. You see, you can't get back to the place where that you know you belongs until you realize that I've got to, it's a struggle, it's a toil to get there. And everything that I'm toil and everything that I'm doing and everything God has allowed me to experience, that is the way God has allowed me to work my way so that I can get back to the place that I know I came from. See, we think everything is free, but there's nothing free in God. I was thinking about it one time, and God said, well, if you want this, how much you're willing to give for it? I didn't know what he was talking about. What are you willing to give me for it? If you want this, what are you willing to give me for it? Hallelujah. What are you willing to give God for what you desire? What kind of sacrifice are you willing to make in order to get the things that you want from God? Are you willing to be broken before God, to stand before God and lift your hand up to God and tell God about the real you? Not about the person that you pretend to be, but about the person that you really are on the inside. We always tell things about what we want to be, but we don't really tell God about how we really are. Are we willing to come to a broken place to say to God, God, you see me, you know I'm dirty on the inside. My heart ain't right. My mind ain't right. I have bad desires. I'm fighting with them all the time, Lord, and I don't want to, but it just seems like it's happening in that way. Lord, I didn't like my sister today. I got angry with her, and I wanted to slap her, and I got angry with my brother, and I wanted to run over him in the car, and the man in the street said I wanted to hit him. And are we willing to get down and tell God about how we really are on the inside? Are we really willing to tell God about the loneliness that you feel at night? To tell God that, Lord, even though I'm with somebody, but I still feel lonely, Lord. I got some food to eat, but yet I'm still hungry, Lord. I got a place to sleep, but yet, Lord, I haven't rested. Are we really willing to become broken before God, to expose our heart to God so that God can fix us up and God can heal us and raise us up? Are we willing to do those things to God tonight? Are you really willing to tell God the truth about everything rather than lying all the time? I'm on drugs, Lord, and I really would like to get off of drugs, Lord. I got this lust problem, Lord. I'm really dealing with it, Lord. I fight against it, and it's fighting against me all day, Lord. You see, that would be the truth about what's on the inside of you, because, you see, even though you're in that state of mind, even though you're in that state of being, you know you don't belong in that state. You know that's not where God wants you to be. God wants you to be spirit. God wants you to be in the spirit. He wants you to walk in the spirit. He wants you to have love, joy, and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. We realize we know what it is that he wants us to have, but are we really willing to tell God that I have not arrived yet, Lord? I try to do good, but every time I try to do good, I end up doing evil, Lord. I don't want to be this way, Lord. I realize I'm in a state that I don't want to be in right now, Lord. I got a mindset that I don't really want to have, Lord. I want your mind, oh Lord. I want your righteousness, Lord. I want your kindness. I want your love. And you see, we need to expose the truth to God where we really are, is because we can't have an outreach. Without having the outreach. But we got to be like the turtle. We got to work our way out. We got to work our way out of the flesh. Hallelujah. And then when you can't work our way, then sometimes God got to beat it out of you. You say, well, is he going to get a stick and beat me? No, he don't beat you with stick, but he beats you with problems. He allows circumstance to come. And see, this is why we have to learn how, somebody say you have to learn how to take your licking and keep on kicking, is because, you see, God is licking us, amen. He's not whipping us with the rod, but with the rod of his word, he's chastising us, because he chastised the one that he loved. You see, if you never got a whipping, if you never got chastised, then how in the world are you ever going to know how to do what's right? They said Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. See, he learned through the things that he experienced. He learned through the things that he went through. And see, the things that you're going through now is just your education. We don't want to call it education, but that's exactly what it is. You see, we're being educated now. Your circumstance and your problems and your situation in life, if you just keep your faith and realize he's going to bring me out of this, but you realize that nobody likes to sit in school all day, amen. Nobody likes to sit in school for a month or 8 years or 18 years or 12 years. No, nobody wants to sit there. Nobody wants to have the patience to wait on God and be of good courage, and so he can renew our strength. Now, nobody wants to be disciplined, you see. But God disciplined us because he loves us. You see, when he disciplines you, it's on purpose. And if we realize that God is disciplined his own purpose, it wasn't by accident, then they said we have to learn how to receive chastisement from God. Because if you're not chastised, then you're bastards. But if you can realize that the surgery you're doing right now is just chastisement. Because when you did that, then you realize what came afterwards, and you realize you did wrong, that was a chastisement, because you became corrected, because it's the only way God can correct you, amen. This is the way God corrects you. And so I'm not complaining about the things that I experience now, because I realize that's a chastisement. Because I would have went my own way if God hadn't chastised me. I would have did my own thing if God hadn't chastised me. And so that's why we have to realize that whatever it is that I'm suffering and whatever it is I'm going through now, I'm just being chastened of the Lord. I realize God chastened me because he loves me. Because if you don't endure chastisement, the Bible says you are bastards and not sons. But if we're going to be a son of God, and that is where we are now, is not where we should be, because God bringing us into sonship. And if God going to bring us to sonship, he's got to chastise his children to make sure they do right when they arrive. Amen. That is why the children of Israel didn't get to the promised land right away. He had to chastise them before he take them to the place of promise. Because when they got to the place of promise, they would have been doing the same thing they did in Egypt if he hadn't chastised them before they got there. we have to realize that we are on our way back to heaven. And because we are on our way back to heaven and realize that the earth is not our home, then we endure things because we realize it's not something just happened. We realize it's something that was done on purpose, that God did it with purpose. He doesn't do anything without having purpose in it. And when we can realize that God doesn't do anything without having purpose in it, then we endure it. And we give God praise while we're going through it. And when we realize that we're going through it, every time I experience something now, I realize that I'm being chastened because God is trying to take me to another level in Him. I might not be another level in you, but I'll be another level in Him. Because it's not so much as the talk of who you are. It's more so about the walk of who you are. It's not so much of what you say, but it's what you do. And see, a lot of us do a lot of saying, but we don't do much doing. And when you do a lot of talking and not doing, then James said, what profit is it? What does it profit me to say that I have faith and have not works? And so James said, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. And it is what God wants us to do, show us our faith through our works. Amen. Job chapter 33, I'm going to read, I'm going to quit. And we talk about the way God speaks to us, you see, because until we realize how God speaks to us and what God does to us, then we won't know what's happening when it's being done. Job 33 and 14, it says, but God speak once, yea, twice, a man perceive it not. So, I mean, God is talking all the time. He's speaking all the time. God doesn't hide anything from us. We normally think God hides things from us, but God tells you everything. God has said in His word everything He's going to do and everything that's going to happen. So that when those things come, you know that those things was done on purpose. It wasn't by accident. Speak once, yea, twice, a man perceive it not. He speaks in dreams and vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumbering upon the bed. Then He opened the ear of men and sealed their instruction, that He might withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. You see, God does that to hide the pride from you. It's because, you see, if you do it yourself, everything that happened, you'll say you did it. Or everything my hand touches turns to gold. Hallelujah, man, I'm somebody, I'm something. Oh, man, every time I do something, the whole crowd falls down. Every time I do something, man, glory just goes out. And you see, he's talking about what he's doing and not what God has done. You see, God has to let something come in his life to show him that's not him that's doing it. God let things experience to show you that you have no power to do it yourself. Because as long as you think you got the ability, then you'll say it's you and won't give God the glory for it. And you wasn't created to give glory to yourself. You was created to give glory to God. But this is the way God speaks to us, amen. Verse 19, listen at this. He's chastened also with pain upon his bed. Oh, Lord, you mean some of the pains that I've been having that, that's a form of chastisement, God? You mean you're chasing me, God? You mean the pain in my heart that's going on right now? You mean that's you're chasing me, God? I mean, would you do something like that, God? Would you chasing me with pain? See, this is why we give praise in all things. This is why we give God glory in all things, because God is chastening us, and we don't realize that he's chastening us. We're being whipped sometime and don't realize that we're getting a whipping. Sometimes we'll say that it's the devil that did it, but It was as God tried to get you to change something that you've been doing. Maybe God is trying to get you to change your eating pattern. Maybe God is trying to get you to change your glutton spirit. But you got to realize some of those pains are some chastisement. And we might, and then we'll give the devil the credit for it. Well, the devil did it. Then God said, no, that's me. I allowed these things to happen on purpose. He's chasing also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bone with strong pain. Well, strong pain? Well, Lord, you mean you'll let me have some strong pains? Oh, God, that couldn't be you. That couldn't be you, Lord, because I know you by your stripes, I'm healed, Lord. I rebuke that pain in the name of Jesus. I command that pain to come out. Get away from me. You have no right to do this. You have no right to do that. But then God said, well, check yourself out and see if there's something that you're doing that I told you you shouldn't do. And then once you check it out and find out that you're doing something I told you not to do, then once you find that out then and realize it and change from that, then everything will be removed because your healing has already taken place. When Jesus took the stripes on his back, that you was healed then, but the pain that you're going through now is because it's something that you're not doing right. And I'm just giving you a little pain to let you know what you're doing. I'm trying to show you that you're doing something that's not quite right. And I want you to repent of that. And as soon as you repent of it, everything, all of that will go away. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that his life is of hard bread. He don't even want to eat. I know the time when I was called myself in the elementary school, I was in love. I thought I was in love anyway. About the sixth grade, I couldn't even eat. I thought maybe that was God. Amen. But he'll bring you to a place like that where you don't even want to eat. That's a good place to be. Because when you get to where you want to eat, maybe we'll fast. Maybe he's just trying to tell you, go on a fast. Because that's chastising your body, because your body is the problem. Because your body is the veil that has to be broken. That is why when Jesus died, they said the veil rent from top to bottom. It was ripped. I heard somebody say it was ripped from top to bottom. It wasn't just torn. It was ripped. And whenever something is ripped, when you rip something, it causes pain. And so God has to allow you to have some pain sometime so that he can break your flesh. He can get rid of the pride out of you because we walk around in pride too much. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. His soul draweth now into the grave, and his life to the destroyer. Amen. And then sometimes he said, God speaks through people. He said, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. Aren't you glad that we found a ransom, that Jesus is your ransom? Amen. Praise God, he's a messenger. The message was Jesus that came to tell you that I came to bring you out of the pit that you were in. I came to bring you out of the miry clay and set your foot upon a rock to say, I came to bring you out of that which was in you, because where you was born is not the place that you were supposed to be. And where you are now is not where you're supposed to be. And this is why Job said, I'm going to wait till my chains come. Though he slay me, yet I'm still going to trust him. I'm going to wait for my change to come. He say, I want everybody to realize there's a change coming here to us in this gospel. Now, there's a change coming to the church. And this is why God said, in the last days, I'm pouring out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. This is why he said, these are the last days, and God got to get us right. Somebody said, come on, church, let's get right so we can go home, because where we are is not where we should be. Is that in your life today, that where you are now, you know that's not where you're supposed to be? You know, it's going to be at home. Maybe you're supposed to be giving a message out on the street. Maybe you're supposed to be giving a message in, over there. You know, where you are now is not where you're supposed to be. You know what I'm trying to say? You know, the death that you're preaching now, you know, there should be a greater death. There should be a higher height and a deeper death in the Lord. Things in the Lord that where we are now is not where we want to be. God wants to take us higher. God wants to take us further. And then this is why we got to turn to the Lord, because we realize he's the only one that can bring us out. Praise God. And so tonight I just want to tell you, where you are now is not where you should be. You see, there's a lot of times in the Lord, it's not because we're not hearing the word. Sometimes because we're not doing the word. See, that's what it says in Hebrew, you know, chapter 4 is talking about. They didn't enter into the rest, because the word that was preached wasn't mixed with faith. You see, if we don't mix what we hear with faith and not just be hearing it but start doing some of it, I normally like to call it, we got to start practicing some of the things that we say. Because we do a lot of talking about it, but we don't do a lot of practicing of it. Because if we was practicing what we say, that would be a great change in the earth right now. But the reason that no change is that we're doing a lot of saying and we're not doing a lot of doing. But we know it's the flesh that is in the way. It's the flesh. It's the veil. You see, we can't see God because of the veil. We can't see God because of the flesh. You see, it's the flesh that's stopping us from seeing the things of God until we can get the flesh out of the way and allow our flesh to be broken. And our flesh will be broken through circumstance and problems and situation of life. And if we realize those things is what's breaking us, and those things is what's tearing us, and those things is what's working in us and working on us, and that is why we got to stop complaining about God working on us, because whatever God is doing, God knows what he's doing. And if God knows what he's doing, then it is to us to be able to trust God enough to allow him to do. Because, you know, whenever you go to the operating table and they realize that you got a onion or something in you, tumor or whatever you call it, they might have, and you got that thing in it, and you realize those things that are there, and you get on the operating table. And when the doctor takes out the knife, you see he's got to cut the flesh to get it out. Have you ever noticed that everything on the inside of us, in order to get it out, they got to go in you to get it out? Have you ever noticed that any time that there's an operation to be done, your flesh has to be cut? That's why everybody says, I don't want to be cut on anymore. I'd rather die. The doctor puts you on the table, and every time he puts you on the table, you get up and run. Every time God puts you on his operating table, and when he gets you on his operating table, ready to do the operation, you get up off it and run. How are you going to get out of you what's on the inside of you if you never allow God to put you on the table so that he can work on you? How are you going to get the poison out if you don't allow, even if you get the poison out, they have to stick a needle in you. Anytime they're going to get something out of it, they got to stick something in you. And if we realize that something got to be, because the flesh still has to be broken, even when you get ready to get some blood, they got to stick something in you to give you some blood, to give you some life. But every time they try to stick something in you, if you move out the way, when are you ever going to be fixed from the situation that you're in? And you realize that the situation that you're in is not where God wants you. When are we ever going to change and go on, lay on the table and allow God to operate on us, to take out what needs to be taken out and put in what needs to be put in? When are we going to do that? You see, Jesus, when Jesus hung on the cross, they had to pierce him in the, you see, they had to pierce his flesh before the, because if they hadn't pierced his flesh, the blood wouldn't have came out. So in order to get the life, they pierced him in the side in order to get the life that was in him out. So we could be partakers of the life. He had to be pierced in his side so that the what was on the inside of him could come out. But not only was the piercing to get that out, but his flesh was open so that we could get in. You see, the life that was in him had to come out so we could receive that life. And through the same hole that the spirit was in, then we was able to go into his body and become part of his body. But if there had not been an opening in his flesh, the life couldn't have came out, and we couldn't have gotten in. So aren't you glad tonight that Jesus was pierced in his side? Because when he was pierced in his side, God opened up a flow. And when he opened up that flow hasn't stopped. Now it's continued on. This flow that is going on and on and on until eternity. But yet, through the same hole that he was pierced in, we was able to come in and be that life in his body because of the life that came out of him. Aren't you glad for Jesus tonight that he was pierced to let his life out so that we could partake of it? Aren't you glad that his flesh was pierced so that now we can get in and become part of his body? You see, where the blood was that was in him, we took the place and we got in that place where the blood was, and now we are the life of Christ. We are the body of Christ and members of particularly. You see, what was let out of him was life to us, amen. And what we let out of us, amen, will become our life to him. And so there's an exchange in that, but if there's never a brokenness in your life, you will never partake of the life of God that he wants you to have. And so tonight, to all of you out there tonight, everything that's going on in your life is on purpose. And everything God does, there is a purpose. And so let the purpose of God be glorified. Amen. Amen. Back to you, Bishop.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord tonight. Everything that happened to us has happened on purpose. Hallelujah, praise God. We thank God for that word on tonight. We thank God for the bishop bringing forth that word. Hallelujah, praise God. Amen, and we're gonna do this right quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the man of God. We thank you for the word that he has brought forth on tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and knowledge that you have poured into him, that he pours continuously onto your children, Lord. And we thank you on tonight for the man of God. Hallelujah, Lord. And Lord, let us receive that word, hallelujah, that he has given on tonight. And we thank you, Lord. We magnify you and we praise your holy name. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. Hallelujah. We thank God, hallelujah, for Bishop Mac Page. We thank God, hallelujah, for the word that he has brought forth on the night. Hallelujah. We just want to ask if we have anybody online tonight that has a testimony or a prayer request. We want to open up the line at this time. Will there be one on tonight?
Truly, this is Evangelist B. Smith. I enjoy the word. I was on from the beginning to the end, and I tell you, my soul's been blessed. Hallelujah. Stay on the wall, men of God. I enjoy you all the time. God bless you.
Amen, amen. We thank God for Pastor BJ on tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Enjoying the word on tonight. Praise God. Do we have another one on tonight?
Yes, sir. I thank God and praise God for the word that came forth, awesome, powerful word of God. And I was so blessed because it was confirmation pretty much to a message that I shared Sunday in church when I went to minister at this church. The only difference, it was called divine. He's the God of design. Nothing is by chance or accident. Everything happens for a reason, and, you know, because God has a plan, purpose, and destiny for each and every one of us. So I just thank God and praise God that, you know, he said we have to be shattered, we have to be crushed, we have to be broken. And many of us don't want to be broken because flesh don't want to die. Flesh don't want to be put under subjection. So, this one valid, significant point I'd like to share, he said, you're in the book. You're in the book. You're in the book. You're in the book. In the book. You can, when you sit down and spend time in the Word, you can find yourself in the book. So maybe two or three books or four or five books. You're in the book. So I thank God and praise God for his Word, because his Word is always truth. His Word is powerful. And his Word accomplishes what he sent it to do. And he even gave me David. So, and, you know, he had touched on David, Psalms 51. That's how Psalms 51 was birthed, with David, behind the things that he went through, the things that he encountered, when he realized that he could not commit sin and hide it or cover it up. You know, God exposes you. And, you know, when God sent the man of God, the prophet, to him and told him a story, and he said that man should die, and that's you. So, you know, all kind of stuff happened in David's life, you know, from the time he was a youth, you know, he was out there attending the sheep, and God said he was a worshiper, he's a warrior, he was a whoremonger, he was a murderer, he was a fornicator, he was an adulterer, but yet God said he was a man after God's own heart, and he was the apple of his eye. So, you know, David was on a journey, going through all that God had predestined and allowing him to go through, just like we all are, on a journey. And, you know, God is planting us, you know, preparing us to go back where we came from. So I just give praises to God, I give glory, and I give honor to the Most High God because of who he is. And, you know, and we all need to ask God to deal with these cold, callous hearts, these hearts, you know, circumcise our hearts, because it is the heart, he said. So I just thank God and praise God. You know, we have to go to him daily, naked and transparent, and just point out to him, because he's the only one can change us. He's the only one can do in us what needs to be done. So I just thank God and praise God. So I'm shutting up. I'm talking too much.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God all night. We thank God for you, Minister Maxine, Evangelist Maxine, on tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank God for the confirmation on tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything, nothing is by accident. Everything is on purpose. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do we have another one on tonight? Well, amen, amen, praise God, hallelujah. I have truly had a blessed time on tonight. I have truly enjoyed the word, as always, from the prophet. Hallelujah, praise God. If y'all want to hear some more of the word, hallelujah, we invite y'all, if you're in the Dallas, Arlington, Fort Worth area, to stop by and see us on tomorrow morning, hallelujah, at Care Church Incorporated, 2501 Centennial Drive, hallelujah, Suite 115, right next to Arlington Motorsports, right across the street from the Boot Barn, right off the highway. Praise God, hallelujah. We invite y'all, hallelujah, to come out and fellowship with us in the morning, hallelujah. We also have 9 o'clock Bible study, praise God, with Bishop Alexis, hallelujah, Sunday school, sorry. And we also have our regular worship service at 11 o'clock a.m. Praise God. So we invite everybody to come out, fellowship with us, have a wonderful time in the Lord. Praise God on tonight. Hallelujah. If anybody out there listening would like to sow a seed, hallelujah, into the ministry, praise God. Hallelujah. You can go online to our PayPal account at paypal.me/theanointedtruth. All lowercase letters, paypal.me, hallelujah, / the anointed truth. Or you can send checks or money orders to Care Church INC, P.O. Box 183483, Arlington, Texas 76096. Praise God on tonight. We have truly had a blessed time in the Lord. We thank God for the man of God coming tonight with that powerful word, with that powerful message. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, the man need to write a book. Praise God. Go on, write that book, Living on Purpose by Bishop Mac Page. Hallelujah. Huh. Praise God. That's a bestseller right there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah on tonight. We thank God on tonight. Praise God. And we're going to go ahead and close out tonight with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you on tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together and congregate in your name, Lord. Lord, for you just being you and that's God all by yourself. We thank you for the word that you brought us tonight, Lord, that nothing is by accident. Everything is on purpose. We need to live on purpose. Hallelujah. We need to walk the walk and talk the talk. Hallelujah. We can't just talk about it. We got to be about it. Hallelujah. And we thank you tonight. We praise you tonight and we magnify your holy name. And we lift your name up high and holy because you are truly worthy. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. Hallelujah. We want you to know that we love you and we appreciate you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen on tonight. On behalf of First Lady and myself, we want y'all to know that we love y'all. We appreciate you. Don't forget to say your prayers and just see what God can manifest in your life on tomorrow. Everybody have a blessed night. Y'all go with God, and we pray the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each and every last one of us till we all come back together again. Praise God. We'll see y'all tomorrow night on the Anointed Truth of Christ. Hallelujah. God bless y'all tonight.
God bless.
Amen. God bless.
Good night.